pretty much all of our lives, we deal with relationships with one another, with people of all kind, with spouses, with children, with grandchildren, with neighbors, with co-workers, with classmates, you know, just all kinds of people that we're dealing with all the time. We have a relationship with all of them in some way, shape, or form. But also with all of this, we have a relationship with God. And we need to be very much concerned about that also. So anyway, where do all of these relationships, how do we know what to do with all of them? How do you handle this? It comes down to the practice of virtue. You know, and how often when you hear the word virtue, you always hear the practice of virtue, which means it's a process. We're constantly learning how to do this in a better way. St. Paul in the letter to Colossians talks about all of these virtues that are absolutely essential for family life, but also for marriage, for any kind of relationships. He talks about heartfelt mercy, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another, forgiving one another, and above all, loving one another. He talks about all of those. We should all memorize that passage from that letter to the Colossians, because it's an excellent guide for what we need to know if we're going to live in peace with our God, with one another, and with all those we have to deal with. The best place we learn is in the family, because we start off very young. You know, when a child is born to this world, he may have all kinds of potential, but that potential doesn't do anything until we kind of help it to grow and develop it. So it's in family life that a child learns to relate to mother, to father, to siblings. That's where we learn. And it's under the guidance generally of our parents, who are supposed to be the guides in our family life, especially in these early years, as we're being formed. So it's a very critical and a very special time in family life. Because if we don't take care of these basic things, the basic virtues that we need in our lives, in those early days of life, it may be a long time, if ever, that they are really adequately learned. So a consequence may be that the person struggles with relationships the rest of their lives. So we think about these virtues that St. Paul talks about. And we think about the practice. You learn in the home. When you fight with your brother or your sister, usually a parent will say to you, you need to sit down and talk about this with each other. You need to forgive one another. You need to be kind to one another. You need to share with one another. You need to be able to talk to one another. Trust each other. Respect each other. There's some things that kids have that is very, very important to them, and a brother or sister who knows that and really wants to irritate them, all they have to do is try to mess with that. And it always creates a problem. But that's where we learn. We learn how to handle those things. And generally, it's done in the early years of our lives, in the very formative years of our lives. And those things, the foundations, will pretty much carry us as we develop and grow through the rest of our life. We have a foundation. Now, it doesn't mean that we learn everything and that we're going to be perfect in any way at all, because that's the lifetime journey. Remember, we practice virtue. That means we try and we keep trying. We make mistakes, we fail, but we keep practicing. We keep going back to it. We keep trying to learn from where we mess up. We need that. And probably the biggest enemy in all family life is when a person becomes very selfish, very self-centered. They become their own world. Everything is supposed to spin around them. And it makes it very difficult not just for the other members of the household, but very much for that person, because they become very lonely, because everything depends on them. And remember, love is a virtue that reaches out to the other all the time. Selfishness reaches in and stays inside. So it can become a very, very lonely existence. So in family life, we learn. We learn by our mistakes, and we get that foundation so that then, once we are just a little bit older, we know how to play with the neighbor kids. We know how to respect and honor kids in the classroom. We know how to play sports together without, you know, without having my ego bruised all the time, where I need all kinds of attention. But that we remember we work as a team. So we learn all kinds of stuff. We learn that as children, but we keep practicing. Virtue, we keep practicing throughout our lifetime. So if I'm working in I have a job in a workplace somewhere, and there's one particular person that just irritates me constantly, I try to do something about that. I learn how to deal with them. I practice. I draw on what I learned as a child. How do I deal with difficult situations in my relationships? What does Christ ask me to do? What did he show me? And I try to deal with that person. Sometimes it works. Sometimes they are so fixed that they will not budge a bit. And so sometimes our life has to be just accepting what is there. But again, none of us has it all figured out. It's practice. Practice. Virtue, we constantly practice. And one day when God calls us, then we will have it right. But until then, we keep working. We need to watch very carefully the selfishness, the self-centeredness, because that can destroy all kinds of relationships. And as I mentioned, it isolates the person very much. The consequence is that they don't know what love is to receive it, and they do not know what love is to give it. And remember, St. Paul says, all of these virtues that we talk about in our relationships, all of them are bound together and make sense when we love one another. Remember the first and the most sacred commandment that Christ gave to us. You love God above all things. You love your neighbor as yourself. And that's the one that we excuse ourselves from the most. You know, if I'm impatient with somebody, I will acknowledge that. But if I don't love them, I don't wish any good to them, I hardly ever acknowledge that. But that is the greatest command, the greatest virtue, that you reach out in love for one another. And that's what the Holy Family was all about. They tried to teach us that. It was a unit of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. I mean, you can't get any better than that. They serve as a model for us. They teach us if we're willing to learn, if we're willing to practice what they did, how the respect and the honor that they held each other, the love which bound them together. And I'm sure there were times when they had to practice patience with each other. I mean, that's normal life, and if they had a normal life of any kind, they had to practice patience. They had to be understanding. And I'm sure they had to forgive their neighbors a lot of times to be understanding of that. So they also practiced family life, Christian family life, where God is the center. No one individual, but God is the center. And all of these other relationships evolve from that. If we don't have God as a center, usually it's ourselves that we put there. And that never works. So all of our relationships will probably collapse. But when we put God at the center, he teaches us and continues to teach us. and to reinforce us of how we are to practice virtue, how we look out for one another, how these relationships are so extremely important in life. Just think if we had good relationships, say, just within your family life, just what a huge difference it can make. When the family gathers, it's a joyful celebration. I remember a situation of people that I knew several years ago. And some of the members of the family joined another religious denomination. I'm not sure why. I don't know what the issue was, what the problem was, but they left the Catholic tradition and joined another church. And part of the family remained loyal to the Catholic Church. And they used to always get together. It was a large family. They used to always get together to celebrate, say, especially, you say, like their parents' anniversary. They would celebrate Christmas, Thanksgiving. They would all get together and celebrate, and they always used to have a big time, a good time. Well, after this religious split, it came down to the point where the one brother said, when they came to his house, he said, "I welcome you. Today there will be absolutely no discussion of religion. Because every time we discuss our religious differences, our different ideas, we fight. And it ends up in one big family quarrel." He said, "We come together to rejoice and celebrate our God and to celebrate our family and the relationship that we've always had." And he said, "So if you're coming to just raise an argument about your religious practice, stay home." And it worked. Somebody had to just grab the situation and say, "We need to do something about this." And so we know how extremely important it is. But family relationship, that's the beginning. That's the foundation. That's where you can be who you are, and everybody in the family knows who you are. They know how to deal with you. They know how to accept you, how to challenge you, and all this. The family knows that. And so we know how to deal with each other. That is supposed to extend beyond our family life, into our community, into our parish community, into the city, into the whole country, and hopefully one day internationally, where people just respect one another, where they would take the virtues of family life, practice them, and live them in their everyday life, in their everyday dealings. It can make a huge difference. So, Holy Family Sunday, it's a reminder to us that we can do a lot better. We know family life in most of the world these days has suffered tremendously in the last 50 or 60 years. We know that there's all kinds of ideological changes and all of these kinds of structures and circumstances and difficulties, and I'm not looking at or blaming or, you know, anybody. But it's a different world we have to deal with sometimes. But we take those virtues that we've been practicing and we use them. We may make mistakes here and there. I just in one instance, think about the technology in the last 50 years. It's incredible what has happened with the development of this technology. It's incredible. But it's also created some enormous problems, some enormous family problems. And what we need to do is, that doesn't make the product evil, but we have to learn how to incorporate that into the values that we hold, and then we can use them to good purpose, and they can serve mankind instead of being the boss of mankind, as it seems to be happening. So anyway, this Feast of the Holy Family, just a reminder to us that this is a journey we practice. You know, it's like a basketball player. I had a friend one time who was a professional basketball player, and he told me, he said, "You know, I work out 364 days a year. And he said workout was like 4 hours or something like that. A strenuous workout. Even if they didn't play or if they had to practice, he still worked out 4 hours a day, 364 days a year. He said the only day he wouldn't work out was on Christmas. But all the other days he said, you know, if I don't stay in the best shape that I can be, he said they kill me in there. He said, I don't have a chance. Because he was only 6'4", 6'5", instead of, you know, what the giants they have today. But he said, you have to stay with it. And that's what we have to do. We have to keep that in mind. Virtue isn't something you acquired when you were baptized. You acquired the gifts and the potential of being a great child of God. But the virtues are things that we learn, taught by our families, taught by our loved ones, taught by our church, taught by the scriptures, taught by good friends that you'd know and trust. And then we practice, and we keep practicing, and you keep practicing. And one day the Lord will say to us, okay, you've done extremely well. It's time to come home. And then we will know perfectly how a family should act. Until then, we practice.